say no when somebody comes along and asks you to pray. Sandra said no the last time. She's been racked with guilt ever since. she had to say yes today. But we also, I love it when other people come up to pray, because, you know, I find sometimes our prayers, in my prayer life, it can become not monotonous, but I find it hard to pray differently. I always pray the same way, and I think we maybe all find that to some degree. And so it is for the fellowship. We don't want the fellowship always to be praying the way Dave prays, or the way Taddy prays, or the way whoever prays. And it's so refreshing when other people come up to pray, because they pray in a way, not just with, you know, different words, but, you know, their hearts are softer to different issues. And so it's great to have a variety. So while I wholeheartedly want people, I don't want people to be racked with guilt when they say no. I want people to be comfortable to say no, because that's a good thing. But it is also a good thing to stand up here, and I think we can all say amen to Sandra's prayer. Amen. Because we are praying, and we're all praying with you when somebody does come up to pray. Okay. So I'm speaking this evening, and I'm speaking on the subject of Jesus saying, and he said it in John chapter 8, he said, "I am the light of the world." Now we'll read the whole verse shortly, but I think the first thing that has to be addressed, if we're talking about Jesus claiming that he is the light of the world, the first important thing to be addressed is it dark? Because we only need a light if it's dark. If it's not dark, we do not need a light. And that is straightforward. We don't need to be scientists to know that. If it's a bright day, you don't switch the lights on at home. But we only need a light, Jimmy. We only need a light if it's dark. And the darkness is a funny thing, isn't it? It's something that we have been awfully aware of since we were children, and an awful lot of us will have had some uncertainty about the dark, and with some people that fear continues right through their entire life, to be afraid of the dark. And you know, even when you go back, when I love getting out some of the old fashioned fairy tales to read to the kids, you know, the old fashioned stories, Hans Christian Andersen and things like that, because it's the deep dark wood. You know, they're far too easy on the children nowadays with their stories. You need a bit of darkness in there, and it's always in the deep, dark wood where, you know, you can't see, and people always play on the darkness. But the darkness comes with all its problems. You know, if there's a power cut and everything goes dark, you have problems even in your own house. Your own rooms that you've lived in for years upon years, all of a sudden when there's no light, you're tripping over everything, and you're fumbling about to find, is that the tea or is that the coffee? Which one's which? Can't even remember. And then you remember the kettle doesn't even work because it's a power cut. So without light, when we're in the darkness, there's all sorts of problems. Practically, well, I'm talking about practical darkness here. Whether it be tripping over things. Then, of course, you have the whole idea of people setting traps for people. People setting snares. People setting things in your way to trip you up. Then you have all the things in the shadows. You know, there's nothing worse than taking a shortcut at night time when you shouldn't have taken a shortcut. you sort of walk, you know, because we live on the edge of Valentine's, you'd be walking up through... Well, I'll just nip through Ward Park, and Ward Park's fine, lots of lights. And then you go up past the swimming pool, and then you nip across the darkness, and all of a sudden, you know, you see all sorts of things in the shadows, your wee noises, wee things, and you're going, and it doesn't matter how old you are, your mind still plays the same tricks on you as when you were younger. The darkness conceals an awful lot of things, and you do not know what they are. That's one of the things with the darkness, and that's why the darkness then becomes associated with all sorts of bad things, because people can do things in the darkness so that they don't get seen. But of course, when we are, and one obvious thing is you can't see in the dark. When it's dark, you can't see. And I've been racking my brain for days, I was speaking to somebody who talked about a situation, and I cannot remember what it was, but he was talking about a situation where he was in complete darkness. And I don't think I've ever been, you know, you can be in darkness, but after a while your eyes start to be able to pick out shapes, and it's not complete darkness. But this guy, he was in some situation that he was in complete darkness, and he said it was the spookiest, strangest thing he has ever experienced in his life. But so it's obvious, when it's dark, you cannot see. But of course, the darkness that we're talking about when we're talking about Jesus being the light of the world, it's an analogy. He's not talking about the fact that he's a candle. He's a literal candle. He's a literal light in the darkness. He's using it as an analogy. So the question is it dark? Do we need a light? Well, we'll take that through into the analogy. Do we need a light? Is this world that we live in, are our lives to some degree dark? So that's what we're going to explore first before we look at Jesus being the light of the world. Joseph said something over Christmas which really astonished me the more I thought about it. I was trying to explain something to me, and he said, "Daddy, some things are just confusing to me. You know, this is the first time I've ever lived." And I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, I've only been alive for 7 years and I haven't experienced everything yet." I'm like, "Okay, fair enough." And then I tried to explain to him, you know, this is the first time I've ever lived too. But I the more I thought about that, the more I thought, actually, that's quite profound. But he's trying to understand things. He's trying to work things out, and he's confused. And you see, darkness can, when we talk about the world being dark, and we talk about it, maybe our lives being dark, we're talking about not understanding things. Maybe confusion. Not knowing what is out there. Not knowing why things turned out the way they turned out. Not having the faintest idea. How did we get where we are today? You know, how did society end up in the state that it's in today? What about the future? The uncertainties associated with the future. Is this a dark world? We also use the term darkness to talk about different things that we may experience. We very often associate darkness with evil. And that, of course, comes from the Bible, but it also comes from practicalities, how that, you know, so much evil is done in the darkness and away from the light. But we also associate it with sadness. We associate it with depression. We talk about a darkness coming over us where we can't cope, where we can't understand, and our minds just won't function properly. So my question is it dark? Do we need a light at all? And of course, you know, we can look at this in terms of lots of different things. We look at it in the broadest scale. We look at the globe, the world that we live in. Is it a dark world? And the more you watch the news, the more you become convinced this is a dark world. Now, I know the media are prophets of darkness to some degree. It sells newspapers. It sells advertising space. It gets people watching the news. The more darkness they can put on there, the more fear that they can induce in people, they can't come back and they watch the news again. And that's part of the reason. But there certainly is, there's a lot of things that we would call darkness in the world. You look at the great uncertainty regarding Islamic State. And not just what they're doing in the Middle East, but the terrorists that are coming across Europe, different parts of the world. There's certainly a darkness regards to that. One of the great economists of sort of the years gone past, George Soros, he proclaimed that 2016 economically was going to be even worse than the last recession there in 2008. There's so much uncertainty. There's so much darkness clouding the world. Then we even look at our own communities that aren't what they used to be. Communities that aren't as close-knit and trusting as they used to be. There's very few people go out now and leave their doors open. There's very few, and you know, and if you do, you'd be regarded as daft. You know, we don't trust our own communities. When we're walking through our own communities, we've still got fear. We're still worried about the people walking along beside us. We don't know half the people that live in our street, maybe. We look at society and you certainly ask yourself, is there any hope? Is there hope for society to get better? Because society's definitely on a down, I think we'd all agree, society is on a downward trend. It's getting worse. You know, the whole family unit has, over sort of the past two generations, it's just completely fallen apart. When you go into schools and children, you know, very few children come from a stable home, you would say. Very few children are brought up with who know their mother and father as a married couple. Is there any hope? You look at the young people today, and certainly I've been working with the Youth Justice Centre around at Woodlands, the old Ralph Gale. And I look at some of the kids I'm working with and I hear their tragic stories and I think, is there any hope for them? And then you know that they're going to go out and have families and children and you think, well, is there any more hope for the next generation? And you think about the kids growing up, the young kids, is there any hope for them? Or is society getting darker and darker? Do we have the answers? Can we see? Is the question we ask. Can we see what's going to happen? Do we understand what's happening in the world? Do we understand what's happening with society? Do we know what the future holds? We even come down to our own lives. I look at my own life and I look at things from the past. I look at even situations I'm in at the moment. I think, how did I get to this place? Or I think of the future, even think of the future next week. I think, what's going to happen? What are the outcomes going to be? And it's very easy to allow the darkness to settle. So if I ask the question, is it dark? For me, the answer is yes. It is dark. I would even suggest it's getting darker. But I probably assume every generation has said it is getting darker. And when you look back 2,000 years ago, you think, well, it's probably just as dark then as it is today. Is it dark? I'm going to read that verse in John chapter 8. Because it's only when we realize that it is dark that we start thinking, well, I think we need a light. I think we need to see where we are. And to go back to our analogy, when there's a power cut, the first thing you do is you go hunting. Oh, there's candles here somewhere, isn't there? And we all know that there is candles. But can we remember where we've left when we go fumbling around the house looking for the light? Because we need a light. And it's no good having a box of matches because, you know, you light a match and they're out. And before you know it, you're through your box of matches. You need a candle because it's going to stay lit. So with our analogy, when we admit that the world is dark, well, then the world needs a light. John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. What a statement for anybody to make. Well, can you imagine, you know, as I have done this introduction talking about how dark a world it is, imagine if I said, right, well, there's a guy in here who's the light of the world and he's going to explain everything, absolutely everything. It's a big statement to make for a man to come and say, I am the light of the world. You follow me, you'll never walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. What a statement for a man to make. He's saying that as you follow me, I will make sense of everything. I will make sense of the world that you live in. I will make sense of your own life. I will make sense of the future. I will take away so many of those uncertainties that bring fear into your life. If you're following me, you'll no longer fear about falling over. You'll no longer fear about making sense of things. You will be able to see. Follow me and you will see all those snares and pitfalls. And when we're thinking in our analogy, we're not thinking of literal holes in the ground. We're thinking of the things in life that are going to bring trouble to us. Jesus says, follow me and you'll be able to avoid some of these pitfalls. It's not to say there won't be trouble. Follow Jesus. Jesus promises trouble will come to you. But you'll miss the pitfalls that the enemy would put in your path. When you follow Jesus, you can see why things happened the way they happened. You'll not always understand. But when you're following Jesus, he takes away the fear of things from the past, the fear of things, the situation that you're in at the moment, the fear of all that uncertainty about what tomorrow holds, what next week holds, what next month holds, what next year holds. Also, as we follow Jesus, we experience what true good is, the opposite of darkness, the opposite of what evil is. When we follow Jesus, we experience what the good, how good our God is. And as I say, when we follow Jesus, he removes the fears from our life. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, what he is saying is, I am the only hope for this world. And when we look back to all the situations that we would assume as dark, whether it's on a worldwide scale, whether it's in a scale of society going downhill, the only hope is Jesus. The only hope for society getting better is Jesus. The only hope for the next generation is Jesus. The only hope for the young people today is Jesus. The only hope in your life is Jesus. The only hope over the fears of ill health, the fears of death, the fears of financial insecurity, the fears of all the fears that would come to you that would be natural in this dark world, your only hope is in Jesus. The only hope for me and my life, the only hope for my family, the only hope is Jesus, because he is the light of the world. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Then he goes on to say, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. One important thing for us in looking around, we're all brothers and sisters here. We're all Christians. And we all at one point looked at Jesus. And then we listened to Jesus. And now we've started to follow Jesus. And that is so important. It's all very well being able to sort of see and hear in through the Bible what Jesus says, how he lived, that he is the light of the world. But that'll do you no good. You know, everybody saw Jesus, but only those who followed him did it do them any good. And we have been studying here on Sunday morning Psalm 119, looking at the Word and how important the Word is. And of course, Jesus is the Word in the flesh. And as we're following Jesus, we're following the Word. As we're loving Jesus, we love the Word. You can't separate the two. As we are obeying Jesus, we're obeying the Word. As we're taking delight in Jesus, we're delighting in the Word. As Jesus is the light of the world, so the Word is the light. It's a light unto our feet and the lamp unto our path, or it's probably the other way around. I always get them mixed up when I quote them. But it's no good just looking at the Word. It's no good just listening to the Word. We need to follow the Word, and of course for that, we need, and we've been looking at that, the psalmist has been reminding us of it nearly every week through Psalm 119, we need the help of God to do that. Tati was especially looking at it when we were looking at New Year's resolutions last week. How that we're incapable of keeping them. We're incapable of walking in the light. We're incapable of following Jesus. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And so we're dependent. Every single one of us is dependent upon the help of God to walk in the light. We need the power of God's Spirit, the Spirit of light. We need the power of God's Spirit in our life. So is it dark? Yes, very dark. Is Jesus the light of the world? Yes, he is. But it's no use us just sitting back in the knowledge that Jesus is the light of the world. As we get up on our feet and start walking in the paths that Jesus walked, well, then we will experience what it is to walk in the light. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we're not dependent upon the likes of Bob Marley or any other social commentator on our hope for the darkness. Whether it's the darkness in the world, the darkness in our communities, the darkness in our own lives. Lord, our only hope is found in Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. And so, Lord, we come to you tonight, each one of us. And Lord, we continually see you and we continually hear your word. We continually hear what you say. But Lord, we depend upon you for the power of your Spirit in our lives to follow you, to follow and walk the paths of righteousness, to follow you and walk in the light, and to walk in love. Lord, we pray for all of us sitting here, Lord, that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, enabling us, empowering us, and equipping us to follow Jesus, the light of the world.